Okay. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. The shiur this morning is dedicated to the memory of Ethel Bat Shneya Tzvi. This is one of his mother. And our learning should be an Ilui HaNeshama. And we have to remember that Yud Beis Tammuz, a very important day in the world of Chabad. Suffice it to say that it will be remembered as the day after democracy collapsed in the state of Israel. Yesterday was the blackest day since the establishment of the state, and that's all. I'm not going to any lo archivet hadibur. It was a classic, tragic mistake of frightening proportions. There are limits to the to strength. What they had lined up outside the entrance to the city, and I couldn't believe we had four buses full in Har Nof, ready to go, and the police come and they take away the driver's licenses of the drivers. I couldn't believe what was happening. As soon as it began to dawn on me, and I called some of my people, and I found out that it's going on all over the country. We already knew that it was happening all over the country, so I said, okay, off the buses, we're going to the entrance of the city. And we stood there till about 6 o'clock in the afternoon. They had hundreds, maybe all along the highway there were thousands, the amount of police and soldiers and cannon, and I came literally face to face with a big white horse. A big white horse stopped right in front of me. And I yelled at the policeman. And I'm still around to tell the tale. But it was a very sad day. Then Rav Avram Shapiro at 5 o'clock, he came out onto the highway. And we said Tulum and we davened Mincha. And where it's going to go from here now, I don't know. But we're going to learn Torah. That's it, we're going to learn Torah. This week, this Shabbos is going to be Parshas Pinchas. The Haftorah of the Parshas Pinchas this week is unusual. It's Orwellian in nature, because the last time we read this Haftorah was in 1984. 21 years since we read this Haftorah. Now it's simple, you have to understand, Pinchas always comes out during the 3 weeks. And during the 3 weeks, there are three Haftarot of Korban. The first chapter of Yirmiyahu, the second chapter of Yirmiyahu, and then Shabbat Chazon is the first chapter of Yeshayahu. And it's usually Parshas Pinchas, is usually right after Shivasa B'Tammuz. So it's the first of the Shabbatot of the 3 weeks, and you read Divrei Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu min haKohanim asher ba'anatot. But this year, as it was 21 years ago, Shivasa B'Tammuz is coming out on Sunday, the next day, which means that Pinchas is just one day before the beginning of the 3 weeks. So there is a Haftorah that was set aside a long, long time ago for Parshas Pinchas. But it gets interesting. We're going to read this Haftorah 3 years from now again. And after that, we're going to read it again 3 years later. And after that again, we're going to read it 3 years later. And after that again, 21 years. To sometime around the year 2050 or so, for this Haftorah. So it means, therefore, There isn't much that has been written about the Haftorah, and whatever I saw, I must say in all honesty, didn't do anything to me. And I think that what you will hear today may be bold, it may be even creative, better get in all the good things I can say about myself before they take me off to Kela Masiyahu or who knows where. Huh? You'll visit? Bake me a cake. Not too much sugar. A lot of files. Okay. The Haftorah is an unbelievable description of one of the greatest figures in Jewish history, Eliyahu HaNavi. What may be significant is what immediately precedes the Haftorah. Because here, I agree with Yisachar Yaakovson, one of the people who wrote about the Haftorah, that there's a great similarity between the Sedra and the Haftorah, not in what's written in it, but what precedes it. The parasha is preceded by the whole story, the sordid, terrible story of what happens on the plains of Moab. Jews begin to go after the daughters of Midian. There is an epidemic, 24,000 are killed. Leaders of the Jewish people, the nation, tells Moshe to hang them from the trees. It's a terrible, terrible fall of the Jewish people. And it's led by Zimri ben Salu, who is one of the officers of the tribe of Shimon. One part of the story is the beginning of this week's Seder, the beginning of Parshas Pinchas. That Pinchas is the one who goes into the tent and he runs through Zimri ben Salu and Cosby Basur. So the whole story is the parsha before. Its culmination is this week's Seder. And of course God says that there's great blessing to Pinchas because he served my zealousness. He's the one, because of his act, that under normal circumstances, or under any circumstances, would be called an act of violence, ultimate alimut. He has killed two people. But his killing of those two people, God says, this has diminished the anger of God, and hinini notelo, I give unto him at birchati shalom, my blessing of peace. And not only that, and I give to him and his children kohuna, they will be priests for all time. The Haftorah comes immediately after the great story. I believe we learned it this year. It was the Haftorah Parshat Ki Tisah. Eliyahu on Mount Carmel with the 800 prophets of Baal, the great contest. Im Hashem Hu Elokim, if God is God, l'chu achara. V'im HaBaal, and if Baal is God, l'chu achara. And then ultimately at Mincha time, the fire comes down from heaven upon the sacrifice of Eliyahu HaNavi, and there's a people cry out, Hashem Hu Elokim, God is the God of the Jewish people. He kills the Nevi'e HaBaal, he kills the prophets of the Baal. And then, of course, he had decreed that there would be no rain, and he sends his boy out. They're standing on Har HaCarmel and they're looking out toward the sea. Until finally his boy comes and he says, there's a little cloud as large as the palm of one's hand. So he says, let's go. Before it rains, it's going to pour. Anyway, Achav, king of Israel, makes his way back to from Haifa across Eimek Yisrael. The Haftorah begins with the Yad Hashem, Haifa, the hand of God was upon him, Yahu, Vayushaleis matnav. So he girded his loins, Vayorot Zufnei Achav. Abbach Vayizraela. He ran. Then stand Achav is on his chariot. And Elio is running by foot. And he runs all the way to Israel. As I'll say, the reason why he did this was to show kavod ana l'malchus Yisrael, because he felt that Achav is in the process of doing tshuva after he has seen the magnificence of Har HaKarmel direct from heaven, that there's somebody to work with here. Vayagid Achav and Yisrael, Achav tells Yisrael and Kol Asher Osel, Elio, everything that Elio did, the Kol Asher Horag, Kol Adivim, the Horag, and that he killed all the prophets by the sword. But Tishbach Yisrael, Malach El Yehu Lemor, Yisrael sends a messenger to Elio saying, Ko Yasun El Kim, the Ko Yosifun, so shall God do, and add to you Kikai Macha. Tomorrow, this time tomorrow, Asinat Nashachok, and Nevis Achad Mehem. You're going to be as dead as they are. You understand? Yisrael is totally unmoved by all that has happened. She says she's going to kill Elio HaNavi. Vayar, and he saw, and it's correct, the translation is correct, he saw the danger. He saw that he is indeed in danger. So you're going to say, Elio, what's Elio afraid of? You understand? Elio has existed for forever, throughout all history. But no. When there's clear and present danger, you know, there are places where even angels fear to tread, right? Fear to tread. Elio knows that it's his responsibility to get out of danger's way. So he saw, he got up, and he went El Nasho for his life. By Yehovah Be'er-Sheva, he came to Be'er-Sheva Hashem in Yehuda, which is in Yehuda. By Yamach et Naro Sham, he left his boy there. Now, he assumes that if he's in Yehuda, Achav is king of Israel. He is in Yehuda. That he is relatively safe there, but then he thinks the better of it, and he continues traveling. He went into the desert south of Be'er-Sheva, one day's journey. And he sat down under a rotem tree. That's the one I forgot to look up this morning. What's a rotem in a broom tree? Broom. The translator over here didn't want to take a chance, so they translated as a rosen bush. I think it's the first time in my life I ever said Rosen. So Rosen! We had one growing on our porch once. I don't know what happened to it, right? Didn't we have a Rosen on the porch? Okay. We did not have a Rosen on the porch, okay? So here it is. He makes his way into the desert and he sits down. It seems it gives a lot of shade. It gives a lot of shade, especially in the desert. And by Yishalot Nafshol Amud, he wants to die. He asks God that he should die. By Yishalot Nafshol Amud, Vayomer, and he said, "God, it's enough. The punishment's enough. Atu Hashem, now God, tach nafshi, take my life. Ki lo tov anochi me'avotai, I know better than my fathers." There was a sense of awesome frustration and depression that overcomes Elio. Here it was, one of the greatest moments of all, Elio Bahar HaKarmel. Amen, the men from answer us the way you answered Elio at Har HaKarmel. It's the peak of his career. He has brought the people to cry out, Hashem Hu Elokim. And 48 hours later, he's a fugitive. He's a fugitive from the law. And what's fascinating, of course, is he had no difficulty making his way down south. Not everybody can make their way down south when they want to go. He made it down. in 50 years from now, when they listen to the tape of this year, will they have any idea what I was saying? He makes it down one day into the desert and he wants to die. Interesting. There are two other people who want to die. Huh? Yonah. And do you know who brought Yonah back to life after he had died as a child? One of the dead that Eliyahu brought back to life was Yonah Hanavi. Somebody else wanted to die. Moshe. In Parshat Baalotcha, if the Jews are complaining on the way into Eretz Yisrael that they need steak and French fries, it's impossible. You can't take it. I mean, we're on a major march over here, and they, like Ehon Kimitonin, he feels the fall of the Jewish people. He says, I can't do it anymore. I'm incapable of leading these people. Hargeni Noharo, God kill me. We're going to see. I'm saying it now, even though I hope we'll get to the Medrash, where the Medrash lists, I don't know, 15, 20 similarities between Moshe and Eliyahu. And by the way, we can see right away, so you know where Eliyahu ends up? At Cholev, the mountain of God. The mountain where Moshe was in a cave and the divine presence passed before him. It's going to be a repeat of Moshe Rabbeinu. Watch. Vayishkav, he lay down to Vayisham and he slept. Tachas Rotan Achad. Under the road tent he sleeps, and behold, there's an angel touching him. Vayomalo, and the angel told him, "Kum echol, get up and eat." Vayabed, and he looked. And there by his head is ugat ritzafim, the tzapachat mayim. Ugat an uga. We know what an uga is: a cake of some sort, ritzafim, baked on coal, and tzapachat mayim. A container of water. Vayochal vayesh, he ate and he drank. Vayoshal vayesh, he went back to lie down. Vayoshal malach Hashem, sheinis vayikapo, the angel of God came and touched him again, and he said, "Kum echol, get up and eat. Ki rav mincho haderech, because there's a long road ahead of you now." Vayoshal vayochal, he got up and he ate. Vayish, then he drank. Vayelech the koach ha'achila ahi. Arboim Yom V'Arboim Leila. He marches for 40 days and 40 nights by the strength of that eating. Does this also sound like Moshe Rabbeinu, 40 days and 40 nights? Ad, where? Until he arrives at Har Elokim Chorev, the mountain of God, Chorev, Sinai. Where does God appear to Moshe Rabbeinu for the first time? When he goes with the sheep of Yitro out to Har Elokim Chorev. There's a lot of mystery over here. We're not going to be able to make our way through the mystery, but there are messages that we're going to get out of this. Vayar Hashem El Hamma'arah, he came there to the cave. The cave. As I said, that cave is the cave that in Parashat Kitusa, Moshe Rabbeinu was in the cave, and the divine presence passes before him. God placed him b'nikrat hatzur. It was just a little bit of an opening from the cave, so that he's not exposed to the full brilliance of the divine presence. V'nei par Hashem Elav, and behold, the word of God comes to Vayom Elav. Malcho po Elio. Elio, what are you doing here? Unbelievable dialogue is going to take place. What are you doing here? Malcho po Elio. Vayom, and he said, Kano kineti Lashem Elokei Tzakot. I was very zealous for God, the God of hosts. Ki ozvu v'ritcha b'nei Yisrael, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. Et mizbocho techo harosu. They shattered your altars that livi echo harbu b'chorat, and your prophets they killed by the sword. V'yivater ami levadi. Only alone have remained. And me, the only one who remains, they seek my life, to take my life. So God says to them, Hashem, go out and stand on the mountain before God. Hashem, okay, this is one of the great sukkim in all of the Tanakh. Hashem, okay, and God is passing by. The Ruach Gedola, there's a great wind, the Chazak Mighty, Mefarek Harim, Umishaber Slayim, an awesome wind. That's Mefarek Harim, that smashes mountains, Umishaber Slayim, and breaks great rocks. Awesome wind. Lo Baruach Hashem. God is not in the wind. And after the wind is chash, terrible sounds. Lo barash Hashem, God is not in the midst of all of that noise. The achar harash eish, and after the terrible noise comes the great fire. And lo barash Hashem, God is not in the fire. The achar eish. And after the fire, kol demama daka, a still, thin sound. Kol demama. By the way, that's an oxymoron. Kol means a sound. Demama, silent. Sounds of silence, oxymoron, thin. When Eliyahu heard this, you know, it's fascinating. I think it's when he hears the sound that he can't even hear. It's not when he heard the terrible, frightening noise. It's now. Now, by Yoleth Ponom Vahadarto, he covered his face with his cloak, and he went out and he stood at the opening to the cave, and behold, a voice is coming to him, and the voice says, same question as before. What are you doing here, Elio? What are you doing here? His answer, precisely the same. I've been zealous for the God of hosts, because your children Israel have forsaken your covenant. They have shattered your altars, and your prophets they killed by the sword. And they want to take my life. We're going to have to get into the Midrashim right away. What's the meaning of this conversation? What took place with it? What kind of dialogue is this? What is its meaning? And that God's response is going to be, by Yom Reil of Hashem, Hashem Elav, God said to him, Leif Shuf, the dark reform, the Farod Amaset. He's telling him to go north. Go all the way back to the desert of Damascus. Uvatan, you should come to Damascus. Umashachta, you should anoint Chazoel lemelech al aham. Chazoel, who is the commander-in-chief of the forces of Ben-Hadad. And then Eliyahu is going to anoint the king of Aram. That Yehu ben Nimshi timshach lemelech al Yisrael. Yehu ben Nimshi shall anoint as king over Israel. That Elisha ben Shofat may oveil mechola. Elisha, the son of Shofat, from Abel Mechola, Tim Shachlan Avi Tachtecha, you shall anoint him as a prophet in your place. V'hoyan, it will come to pass on Ilat Mecheret HaKazael, Yamit Yehu, whoever is going to flee from the sword of Chazoel, will be killed by Yehu, V'han Ilat Mecheret Yehu, Yamit Elisha, and the one who will flee from the sword of Yehu will be put to death by Elisha. It's really describing the end of the house of Ahav. The house of Ahav and Izebel is going to come to an end. Part of them will be destroyed by Hazael, the king of Aram. The rest, Yehu ben Nimshi, is going to rebel, and he's going to wrest the kingdom from Achav, and Achav is going to die in battle. A lone archer is going to shoot an arrow, and the arrow is going to make its way straight through the metal armor, right in between one of the folds of the armor, and Achav dies. That archer was Naaman, who later became the commander-in-chief of the forces of Aram. So Hazael is going to bring down Achav, Yehu is going to bring down Izebel and the rest of the house, and then whoever is left will be put to death by Elisha. The Sha'arati Yisrael and I'm going to leave in Israel 7,000 Kolabir carry my shalom Karula Baal, all the knees that did not bow down to Baal, the Kolapea Shalom Ashaklo, and any mouth that has not kissed the Baal. Vayelach Misham, Eliyahu goes from there, from the desert, he's now moving northward. Vayimtzot Elisha ben Shofar, he found Elisha ben Shofar, Behu Choresh, and he was out plowing. Shnei Masor Tzmadim Lefanav, there were 12 spans of oxen before him, and he was the 12th. Behu B'Shnei Masor, Vayavar Eliyahu Elav, and Eliyahu came over to him, Vayashlech Adar to Elav, and he threw his cloak to him. That's not the first time he's going to throw his cloak to Elisha. When the great day is going to come, that Elisha is going to be taken heavenward, Eliyahu is going to be taken heavenward, Elisha is the one who asks him, I want to have a double portion of your holiness and your prophecy. So he says, if you see me being taken and you catch my coat, you will have it. And as the chariots come to take Eliyahu heavenward, he throws down his cloak and Elisha grabs it. Vayazov et Abakar, Elisha left the cattle, Vayoretz achrei Eliyahu, and he ran after Eliyahu. Vayom, and he said, Eshokon ola'ovi u'le'imi, I'm going to kiss my father and my mother, ve'elcha acharecha, and I'm going to follow you. Vayom alo, and he told him, Leich shuv, go back. What he means over here, according to many unfortunately, is yes, go kiss your mother and father goodbye. Ki me'o sidulach, I'm not doing anything to stop you from doing that. Vayoshov me'acharov, he went back, vayikach et tzemet abokor, he took the oxen, vayizbechei, when he brought them as a sacrifice, ubechlei habokor bishlom habasor, and with the implements of the oxen, he cooked the meat, vayitei lom, he gave to the people, and they ate, vayokom, vayelech, acharei Eliyahu, and he got up, and he went after Eliyahu, vayishor sehu, and he served. End of Haftarah. Okay, what does it have to do with the seven? Yes?
What I don't understand is that Eliyahu says to God that the people have gone away from you, and they've raised your altar, they have killed your prophets, and I will remain and they keep my soul to take it. I would have expected God to say, don't worry, I'm going to be with you, you know, like some kind of a word of consolation. But that's disregarded, and he said, you know, this is what you should do.
The Medrash is going to say that's not what Eliyahu should have said. Do you know what Eliyahu should have said? Rabbeinu Shalom, they're your children. They're the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Do you know what Eliyahu is doing here? Eliyahu is condemning the Jewish people. And do you know what God has been saying to him in the Medrash? I don't like people that speak dilatoria al banai. I don't like those who speak lashon hara. By the way, do you know why Eliyahu is present at every bris? Every day, he comes back heavenward, and the Rebbe Shem asks him, "No, Eliyahu, Ozvu and Briti, B'nai Yisrael, have forsaken the covenant? How many brisin were you at today?" Goshen doesn't want somebody to speak that way. The Medrash brings it, and then the Rambam says it, the list of great people in Tanakh who spoke ill of the Jewish people were immediately punished. Moshe Rabbeinu by the Sneh says, "Hey, lo yaminu li, they're not going to believe me. V'lo yishmu b'koli, they're not going to listen to my voice. Ki yomu, because they're going to say, lo niro ele Hashem, God didn't appear to you." God tells him, "Put your hand into your cloak." And he takes it out, and it's white with tzaras. Don't speak ill of my people. Don't tell me they're not going to listen. Don't tell me they're not going to believe. And Eliyahu makes, and we're talking on Eliyahu's level, he makes the mistake twice. The Medrash says, Yeshayahu refers to the people of Yerushalayim as Sodom and Amorah. And Amalek goes flying over to him with a coal in his hand, and he puts it on his lips. "With this I've cashed you out." Like you losing Ajax when a kid said something he shouldn't say. Clean enough, you have to be careful when you speak about Klal Yisrael. You have to be careful when you speak about Klal Yisrael. Some years ago I gave this year where I elaborated on a Meshach Chachma who said the two worst levels of Lashon Hara are: one, when a person speaks Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael. You speak Lashon Hara about Chaim or Leah or Yankel or somebody, that's pretty bad. But when you talk about a community or a whole group of people or about Klal Yisrael, that's terrible. But there's one Lashon Hara that's even worse than that. The very worst or the lowest level of Lashon Hara is when you speak Lashon Hara about the Jewish people to the nations of the world. There is nothing, nothing lower than that. Alright, I'll say it. I try to control myself, and I'm incapable of controlling myself. The great threat of our generation is that there are many amongst us who've been saying for the last 37 years, we're occupiers and we're conquerors. We stole the land. That's Lashon Hara and Klal Yisrael that's never forgiven. We're not people who've stolen land. We're not occupiers. I said in Shulchan Aruch Shabbos, even the first Rashi could not have imagined. You know what Rashi can imagine? That the nations of the world will say, "Listen, Matem, you are thieves that stole Eretz Yisrael." Rashi could never have imagined that we'd be walking around saying, "Hey, listen, Anachnu, we're thieves, we stole Eretz Yisrael." It's not only religious, it's gross stupidity. Because if we would say that it belongs to us, and say it day and night, and then even if a government of Israel decides to remove Jews from Gush Katif, at least they can tell the world, "Yes, we're giving up our own and native land." That's not how the world looks at it. You've been a bunch of Kabbalah here for 37 years. Good riddance to bad rubbish. Get out! So what have we accomplished? The worst I've been of all is to talk Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael B'goyim. And Jews always were so careful. Sunday, was it Sunday or Friday? In the Haaretz, there was an article with a picture. The grandfather of Lenin was Jewish, and his son was Jewish. Father and son both converted to Christianity. And they had a picture of a letter that had been sent by Lenin's Zayde to the Tsar, written in Yiddish, telling the Tsar that the Jewish people hate you and they're rebelling against you. We're talking about, it's a frightening story. I had to get in the house. I didn't know what to do with myself. Two Shumadim brought a lamb into the world. His Seder was on his deathbed when he converted to Christianity. He didn't want to die Jewish. He had lived in one Jewish community and he got into a fight with the people of the community. He moved to Zhitomer and he died in Zhitomer after living there many years at odds with the Jewish community. He hated the Jewish community. And he wrote, there were not one letter, there were many letters that he wrote attacking the Jewish community to the Tsar and in Yiddish. Shomu Shemai. And unfortunately, that I consider the worst of any of our time. But Laham will elephant, I love him, have dollars from Eliyahu. The Rosham simply doesn't want to hear from a Navi who says, Ki Ozu Britcha, they have forsaken your covenant. So the Navi says, Ulai, maybe your covenant, my covenant? Jews have not broken the covenant with me. Oh no, they haven't. Oh no, they haven't. Of course, one of the relationships between the Sedna and the Torah is the fact that that Eliyahu, like Pinchas, is a kanoi, he's a zealot. The same words are used about Pinchas at the beginning of the Sedna as is used about by Eliyahu himself. There is, of course, the medrash that says Eliyahu zeh Pinchas. Eliyahu is, in fact, Pinchas. That, of course, is only good according to the Medrash that says that Eliyahu was a Kohen. There are two other opinions in the Medrash, and I have all those Medrashim on the other side. We'll see what we can get to. There are different opinions as to what tribe he came from. So, but there is an opinion that says that he was a Kohen, and if so, he was a Kohen, so there's a Medrash that says Eliyahu said Pinchas. The Medrash can be understood either that the personality of Eliyahu is the personality of Pinchas, or in fact Eliyahu and Pinchas are one and the same person. There is, of course, the Medrash that says the two spies that came to Rachov. One of them is hidden by Rachov by the flax that's put over. What about the other one? The only one that had to be covered with the flax was Kalei ben Yefune, because he was a human being. The other one was Pinchas Eliyahu, who just, pulled a vanishing act. Take a look on the other side. At the bottom, huh? He wasn't who? Who? Yahushua sent the Meraglim to the... He was the one who sent them. The two people he sent were Caleb and Pinchas. Now, I have down at the bottom of the page... what the Art Scroll Chumash says, which I think is common wisdom, the Midrashim cite at least three opinions regarding the tribal descent of Elijah the prophet. He is described as a Gadite, that is from the tribe of God, or a Benjaminite, which is from the tribe of Benjamin, or a Kohen. Additionally, various sources identify Elijah as Pinchas, either as being one and the same person, both lived extremely long lives, or as the embodiment of the principles which Pinchas was blessed with my covenant of peace. In either case, it seems clear that the nexus, I always need, when I read art school, I always need a dictionary, you know. Nexus, I don't know, nexus, it sounds like a car. What is a nexus, a Lexus? A Lexus, okay, so I don't know everything, you know. That the nexus between the Seder and the Torah is the shared trait of zealotry in safeguarding the nation's loyalty to its God. Whether it was Pinchas who bravely went after an Israelite prince and a Moabite princess, or Eliyahu who took on King Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel, each was unstinting and unflinching in protecting the nation from the inroads that idolatry had been making into the Israelite camp, and from the consequences of that idolatry's treachery. Alright, okay? Let me take you... by the way, I have four Midrashim here, and to give you a basic insight into what each one of the Midrashim is talking about. Number one, so I have another number one, from what tribe is Eliyahu? That first paragraph from the Medrash talks about where Eliyahu came from. I want to take a little bit of look at number two. That's a pretty long one, but I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I just want to give you the general idea. The similarities between Moshe and Eliyahu. Zeu Shomar, number two. Zeu Shomar HaKosev, Ubenovi Helo Hashem Yisrael Mitzrayim Ubenovi Nishma. God brought up the Jewish people from Israel, from Mitzrayim, with a Navi, and a Navi took care of them. So the Medrash says, Ubenovi Helo Hashem Zeh Moshe, Ubenovi Nishma Zeh Eliyahu Zal. Now, you have to understand something. I remember the first time I was in Eretz Yisrael, it was 1955. I was a very little boy. And I ended up in Be'er Sheva, and Be'er Sheva was mamish like, what was a classic Western border town? I don't know, Death Valley, mamish, the end of the earth. Was a little small town, and guys were riding around on horses with shooting irons, you know. And there was even a sign on the main street that said, from here and further you have to go with neshek, with weapons. So I came into a shul. I didn't have a night place where to sleep that night. I came with a friend, we didn't have a place to sleep. We went to the jail, and we asked them to, can we sleep here? There was no place for to sleep. So they said, no, we can't wait, this is not, this is a jail, you understand? So me and my friend said, you know, we're going to hit each other. So maybe you could, no. Anyway, they didn't want to listen to nothing. We ended up, don't ask, I don't want to tell you, some kind of a flop house. And in the middle of the night, the guy turns over in the room and says, a big knife like this, you know, an Arab with a big, I ran out of there. And we ended up in a shul, and they have a Kisei Shel Eliyahu Zal. So in those days, no, what do you mean Zal? How do you say Zechreinu Levracha on Eliyahu? That's what you say about people who died. Till it occurred to me, Eliyahu is Zohor Latov. The Zal by Eliyahu does not mean of blessed memory, but the one who's remembered for good. So when it says Eliyahu Zal over here, whole different story. So the Medrash begins by saying, these two people carry Klal Yisrael, Moshe and Eliyahu. Atomotze, Shnei Nevi'im Amdu Yisrael, there are two prophets that arose to Israel, Mishitosha Levi, from the tribe of Levi. This big Medrash clearly holds that Eliyahu is from the tribe of Levi, and he's therefore a Kohen. Moshe Rishon, the Eliyahu Acharon, Ushnehem Golim et Yisrael Bishlichut. Two, both of them are the messengers of God. Who's the ultimate Goel? Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem Es Eliyahu Anochi Zohar Latov. The Yavaselon of the Sodos Tovas Yeshua's Benachamas. Who was the first Goel? Moshe. Who will be the ultimate Goel? Eliyahu. Eliyahu will be the ultimate Goel. Moshe Goelam in Mitzrayim, Farato Lecho Veshlochacho El Paro, Ve'eliyahu La'atid Lavo. Eliyahu is going to be the one who will bring us redemption. Hinei Anochi Shalev, Lechemet Eliyahu Anavi, the very end of Tanakh, the end of Sefer Malachi. Behold, God says, I'm going to send Eliyahu Anavi, Lefnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol V'Hanorah, before the coming of the great day. Moshe Goelam in Mitzrayim Tchila, Od lo chazru v'nishtabru Mitzrayim, ve'eliyahu kishyigal otam min harizviyit. Moshe, when he redeemed them from Mitzrayim, but then they were enslaved over the centuries, over the millennia, time and time again. But Eliyahu is going to redeem them from the fourth. What's the fourth? In Daniel, he describes the Arba Malcha, the four animals that describe the four exiles of the Jewish people, Babel, Paras and Madai, Yavon, and then Edom. And our long Golos is the Golos of Edom. Od einam chozrim umishtabdim elot shu'at olamim. Eliyahu is going to bring ultimate redemption. Never will Jews be again enslaved. After Moshe, Shemoshe and Eliyahu showed themselves that Moshe and Eliyahu are equal to one another. L'chol davar. Do you hear what the message is saying? In all respects, Moshe and Eliyahu, by the way, this is leading me someplace. Someplace very, very important. Moshe and Eliyahu are equal in all things. Moshe, Nabi, Eliyahu, Nabi. One, Moshe is a prophet and Eliyahu is a prophet. Moshe is called Yishul Akim, the man of God, and Eliyahu is called Yishul Akim. Moshe, Olamala, Moshe went heavenward, Eliyahu, Olamala, and Eliyahu went heavenward. Shemana, Bayehi, Bahalot, Hashem, and Eliyahu, the Pasuk later is going to say, when God takes Eliyahu heavenward. Moshe, Horaka, the Mitzvi, the Eliyahu, Horaka, the Chiel. Moshe killed the Mitzvi, and Eliyahu killed Chiel. Chiel was the fellow who built Yericho. And there was a prohibition on building Yericho. Shenema v'yesha v'apar v'yama d'agma. Whole story. Moshe nitkalkel agedei isha. Shenema, kiren li v'yokalachem, a woman gave him to eat. The daughters of Yisrael. V'eliyahu nitkalkel agedei hatzofit. Eliyahu was fed by the woman of Tzarfit Shemana. Likhono li pat lechem, please give me a piece of bread. Moshe barach mifnei paro, ve'eliyahu barach mifnei Yizebel. Moshe flees from paro, Eliyahu flees from Yizebel. Moshe barach ubala be'er, Moshe fled and he came to a well. Eliyahu barach ubala be'er, he came to a well. Shemana b'yoko be'er. Shava, he came to Be'er Shava. Moshe Amar, in Kamos Kolodam, Yemusa De'ela, Ve'eliyo, said, Chai Hashem in here, Talo Mata. You know, I can keep going through, you know, maybe we'll go a little bit more. Moshe says, Vayavar Hashem El Ponav, we say that time and time again, and then, in Slichas, Vayavar Hashem Alanova Yidra, Hashem Hashem Kelach Lechanun, and over here in the Haftorah, we need Hashem Oveh, the Haftorah we have, and God is passing by. God is not in the wind, God is not in the terrible noise, God is not the fire. By Yishma Takol, by Moshe it says, and he heard the voice, and by Eliyahu it says, Vihinei Elov, to him comes the voice. Moshe brought all of Israel before God to Har Sinai. Eliyahu gathered them all to Har Carmel. Moshe is the one who removed idolaters when he came down from the mountain and he sees that the Jewish people have made an egel. He calls on Milah Shemelai, go through the camp and kill them. And Eliyahu is the one who destroys the prophets of Baal on Har Carmel. Moshe Kinei. Mila Hashem Eli Eliyahu Kinei Shinema VeEliyah VaYomer Eloyu Kolam Yishuna Eli. All right, we can keep going, huh? This is the Yalkut Shimon, right on the pasuk Medrash Yalkut Shimon. Now I have a lot to say, but I want to get to the main point, chiddush. So I said the Mefarshim, here you had what Oswald says, and it's fine, most of the Mefarshim say that the relationship between the Sefer and the Haftorah is the idea that yes, Eliyahu is either Pinchas or Eliyahu is like Pinchas. Pinchas is zealous, Eliyahu is zealous. What preceded at the end of last week's Sedra is similar to what precedes the beginning of this Haftorah. But you know, I always have one problem. I think it's a good problem. I like the problem. I find it difficult to accept that a Haftorah is related to one particular incident in a Sedra. I feel that the Haftorah has to have a far broader encompassing connection to the Sefer. If we say because Eliyahu is Pinchas and Pinchas Eliyahu, all right, that's fine. It's wonderful. It's great. There's no question about it that that's a relationship between the Seder and the Haftorah, but that's not the whole story. I'll tell you what I think the whole story is. There's something that happens in the very center of the very center of the Seder, the middle. It's a long Seder, Pinchas. It's a long Seder. There's something that happens in the middle of the Seder. And what happens in the middle of the Seder really raises a question about the whole name of the Seder. Moshe Rabbeinu turns to God and he says, God, appoint a man on this congregation. He wants to make sure that the torch is going to be passed. He knows that his days on earth are limited. Who's going to take over after me? And he says to God, I want you to appoint Elokei HaRuchos. You know how many different opinions there are by Klal Yisrael. You know how many winds and spirits there are. You have to have somebody who's able to relate to them all. You need an unusual personality who is going to be able to lead these people. We would have thought, Parshas Pinchas, there's a man of great courage who did an awesome and terrifying act on behalf of God. The next leader of the Jewish people should be Pinchas. That's not God's response. You know what God's response is? Yahushua. Wait a minute. I'll tell you the truth. We forgot about Yahushua for the last 38 years. In the 38 years, we haven't heard a word from him. He was the one that Moshe Rabbeinu sent out to fight off the sneak attack of Amalek. By Yom Moshe Yahushua, at the end of Parshas Bishlach, Moshe says to Yahushua, "Bechar lo anoshim, choose men that say he lochim by Amalek and go wage war with Amalek. I'm going to be at the top of the mountain." A year later, he was one of those who did not fall into the trap of the miraculous, Yahushua and Kaleb. But 38 years have passed. I mean, if we wouldn't really know a few psukim around here and there, we wouldn't even know what he did. You know, he went on pension, he was retired. What was he doing? Where was he? Now, in the choice of who's to be the leader, it's Yahushua and not Pinchas. You know why it's not Pinchas? With all the heroism, with all the courage of Pinchas, leadership of the Jewish people does not come as a result of one great act of Mesiras Nefesh. Leadership of the Jewish people is something that has to be earned over a long, long time. It doesn't come as a result of one great moment in the sun. You know where Yahushua was all of these years? He wasn't the Beis Medrash of Moshe. He was kvetching a bank. See? He was there. You know what it meant? A woman has tzavos and she comes into the Beis Medrash and she needs to talk things off her heart. You know who's there? Yahushua. A little kid is having trouble with Chumash and Rashi. He has to find somebody who's going to help him. Goes to the Beis Medrash of Moshe Rabbeinu. You know who's there? Kid knew. The little boy knew. Yahushua? Always there. How is he described? He's Mishores Moshe. Vatnar Yahushua Mishores Moshe Lo Yom Mishito Hoel. For 38 years, he was always ready and available for any member of the Jewish people. It's a long time. 38 years, he got to know the tzaddas, he got to know the aspirations, the needs. He knew Klal just by sitting in the tent of Moshe. The leadership of Klal Yisrael must go not to the one who has this great one moment act of courage, great as it may be, zealousness of the highest order of a positive nature, but at the end of the day, zealousness still remains zealousness. While it may be good under the circumstances of the Seder, it's not good in all other relationships between a leader and his people. So here it sort of is, it's really like a dark horse is being picked who's going to be the leader of the Jewish people. Now, not big sir. It means really, the most significant event in Parshas Pinchas is the torch is being passed. And the torch is being passed from Moshe to Yahushua. Ah! Look at the last pasuk in the Haftarah. Vayoshov me'acharov, vayikach esemet ha'pokor, vayizbacheu, ubichle ha'pokor bishlom ha'balsov, vayitzei lo vayochelu, vayokom, vayele, acharei eliyo, vayishor sehu, and he served him. That's the description of Yahushua. Now wait a minute. If Moshe and Eliyo are the same, pray tell me, is there much difference between Yehoshua and Elisha? Yehoshua and Elisha. God is the one who, our Savior. Ko Yoshiacha. Just as in the Seder, the torch of leadership goes from Moshe to Yehoshua, in the Haftorah leadership goes from Eliyahu to Elisha. We haven't heard about Elisha. Fact is, we never heard about Elisha until we came to this pasuk. And what's the greatness of Elisha? Vayishor sehu. What Yahushua is to Moshe, Elisha is to Eliyahu. And the fact is that the great accomplishments of Elisha are going to outshine by far what Eliyahu was able to do. But there's one thing about Eliyahu. And here I'll just end with one thing that's extremely significant that I believe of contemporary relevance. And one of these days, if I, we have a chance, I may even discuss it at great length. Because I think it's something that needs to be said. There's a beautiful, beautiful question that's asked by Reb Leiti Yitzchak Mibarditchev. Reb Leiti Yitzchak Mibarditchev asks, very often the Gemara Talmud, when there is a question that's unresolved, so the Gemara says, Teku. And Teku, we were taught since we were little children, Teku means not as they use it over here when it's a ball game or whatever games they play in this country. Teku, if it's zero, you understand, that's Teku. Teku in the Gemara we were taught means Tishbi. And we know what Tishbi Yitareitz Kushyot Vahabayot. Tishbi, and Eliyahu HaNavi will answer all questions. Laws of love, we don't know the answer. So Eliyahu will answer the questions. So Rabbi Yisrael HaDitchev asked the Gemara Gekasha. In time to come, we'll have Moshe. We have Moshe Rabbeinu. Let's go straight to the Rebbe. What do we have to go to Eliyahu HaNavi? Moshe Rabbeinu will answer the questions. So he says there's a very big difference between Moshe and Eliyahu. Moshe died, and Eliyahu didn't. Moshe died, then he's out of it. Pesach can only be by somebody who's living, somebody who knows what's going on. You have to be tuned in to the here and the now. there's a very great significance to this. And I'm going to say it in one line, and it's going to need a great deal of elaboration. There are questions at every stage in Jewish history. There are serious questions that we have to deal with. One cannot, for example, in certain segments of our community, one will quote Rabbi Chanan Vasselin, or Rabbi Chanan Vasselin, Gon Olam, Hashem Yikom Tovo, killed by the Nazis. What Rabbi Chanan Vasselin said in 1935. What Rabbi Chanan Vasselin said in 1935 may be totally insignificant in 2005. Now I'm going to take you the next step. I become unnerved, when either in a speech or in an article, somebody talks about my Rebbe and mentor, the Rav Soloveitchik. What Rav Soloveitchik may or may not have said 35 years ago may be absolutely, totally irrelevant and insignificant today. Different times, different situations, the responsibility of a Rav or a Posek is look at the here and now and you make the decision. There isn't a man living on earth today who can say with any certainty what our salvation would have said today. No one can't do that. We have to carry the burden ourselves. The Gemara says, and yes, Hashem, one of these days, I'm going to learn a very significant Gemara. Ain't no l'dayin el ma'ashen of those, you have to be able to see. Can't judge on the basis of some kind of an expression of Das Torah from 30, 40, 50 years ago may be totally irrelevant to the present situation. If our salvation said then, you have to trust generals like you trust doctors, what about 35 years later when you find out that the doctor left 1,000 patients dead on the surgeon's table? And the generals have left 5,000 dead that they've done nothing about. Maybe the Rav would have said, you can't depend on this general. You can't depend on that doctor. That's what Rabbi Yitzchak Baditcher is saying. Moshe cannot paskin. We need Eliyahu who's been alive. Eliyahu who's been involved with promise all these years, yes, and who came to every bris. He's the one who can advise us and pass in those shadows. There's an awesome responsibility to take a look at a situation at any moment in history and come up with an intelligent conclusion, and even if you have to run the risk, maybe, of making a shtick or a mistake. But that's your responsibility. You can't run away from it. That's where you go. That's Eliyahu. Moshe can't do that. That's a powerful authority to get on that edge. But in some, I see the relationship between the Haftorah and the Sedra not limited to the first 3-4 psukim of the Sedra. I always have difficulty buying that. Great deal of difficulty. It has to be the heart of the whole Sedra. That's what's amazing about the Sedra. It's Parshas Pinchas, but you know who the major figure of Parshas Pinchas is? Yehoshua ben Nun. Yehoshua ben Nun is the one who's going to take them into Eretz Yisrael. And by the way, do you know who understands this better than anybody else? Pinchas. Pinchas will follow orders. Sends him to be a spy to Yericho, he goes as a spy. No covered masses over here. By the way, he listens to Yehoshua because he's going to be part of the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. No more need be said. But anyway, I think it's not a bad approach to the understanding of the Haftorah, and now all you have to do is just remember it now for 3 years, and then again for 3 years, and then again for 3 years, and again for 3 years, and then 21. Gesundheit. Okay. Thank you.